Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Rosa kamalam rama mama mama mama. Rama mana mara manka sandra marana. Oh, you step into that place. You step into the timing. You step into the presence of God where anything and everything will happen. Jesus, Jesus. Holy, 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 holy are you, Lord. Oh, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, holy is your name. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy are you, Lord Jesus. Oh, la basanda ramandresa. Lo masankamalam rendirendendeya. Oh, Jesus, we step in right now with fear and trembling. Oh, la basile robo sikibalambara da raman kamarade nene meke sheker ramana man kamalam rendirendendede. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why don't you go ahead and take your seat there in the presence of God? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many of you can sense that? Hallelujah. Well, it's times like this, as a preacher, you just want to say, Lord, are you sure you don't want to come down and do this yourself? I'm so thankful to be here tonight. So thankful to be a part of the team. I'm so thankful to be a part of Pastor's team. We may be the spiritual A team, but we're a part of Pastor's team. I really, really feel that that's an example for us when Moses just turned a corner in the wilderness, having been there 40 years. And all of a sudden, you run smack into your timing. Turn a corner, and all of a sudden there's a burning bush and a voice coming out of the bush. Take your shoes off, for the place where you're standing is holy. I flew out several weeks ago to Pastor Happy Caldwell's church, Agape Church. We did a crusade there a few years ago. And Pastor Happy Caldwell, Pastor, just reminds me of you so much. I mean, I love their church. They've got a television station, their soul-winning church, everything. They're so similar. But that was 2 years ago in 2012, and I went out and was on his television show, and I had the privilege to eat lunch with him after we recorded this television show. And he was just beginning to talk to me about the ministry, and I'm just so privileged to be there with him. And he actually had transitioned his church, and he had a young man that he raised, that was raised up in Agape Church over the years and went on the mission field. And he told me, he said, David, I'm telling you, when that grace to be pastor here lifted, it lifted. And he transitioned out, and I began to think about, you know, and I began to really think about this. And then several weeks later, I think it was a week and a half ago, I flew out to Columbia, Missouri with Pastor Tom and Vicki Luther. And I was talking with them, and we're just talking about how thankful we are for you, Pastor. And I began to say something, and I said, Vicki, I told her what Pastor Happy Caldwell had said, how the grace had just lifted and how God transitioned him into television more and focusing in the traveling, and you know, and I was sharing this with Vicki Luther, and I said, but Vicki, I see something with Pastor that is so awesome, because when somebody a peer is transitioning, and just hold on with me because this is very good, like Happy Caldwell, I had the grace lift. I said, Pastor Vicki, I see with Pastor Bob a greater fire and a greater desire, and I haven't been around the whole 50 years, but I've been around since 93. And ever since then, I've seen, Pastor, I told this to Vicki. I said, Vicki, I see a greater, I said, Vivek, I don't know how to describe it, but I see a greater call, a greater fire, something greater burning, resting on the inside of Pastor than I have ever seen before. And I said, it's like the last 50 years have just been seasoning in preparation for the last greatest grand slam that Pastor is going to hit. Because when and I'm telling you, with the balance of apple on gold on a platter of silver, I hope with the fear of God in what I'm saying tonight, that when I see talk with Pastor Happy Caldwell and he's transitioning and handing the church over, and then I see with Pastor Bob how there's a greater fire. It was a contrast, and I begin to see that what we can have here, church, we can take for granted and not understand that we're not talking about, well, just one idea that we've had for 1 year or 2 years of preparation. But we are talking about an unprecedented 50 years of preparation for something that has taken place here. And I'm telling you, as somebody who has spoken with other people and traveled around and seen things in a different light, in a good light, it's all good, that we have got something here that I just see, it's like the timing is linking up into place, one step after another, one thing after another. For 50 years, this has been taking place. Moses, my goodness, was 40 years in the wilderness before the burning bush came and things turned around. We're talking about 50 years here of seasoning, 50 years here of something that only the hand of God could have put together. Every attack of hell has come against our pastor. Several weeks ago in the other staff prayer meeting that we were in, I was facing something so difficult and so challenging, and I thought, God, how in the world am I going to make it through? And I was sitting just about 6 or 7 feet from Pastor, and I just began to think how thankful I am that you are my pastor, because I knew whatever I was going through, you had been through worse several times over. And just being close to the mantle and the anointing, I was so thankful for what. And all of a sudden, I had the faith and the victory. I thought, well, do I need to go and have Pastor lay hands on me and pray for me? But by the time the prayer meeting was over, I had already received from you, I think, everything I needed to receive just from being there. You know, like I've said, physical proximity is important in regards to the anointing. But 50 years, I'm telling you, church, 50 years of seasoning and preparation, 50 years of things coming into place. And I'm telling you right now that Pastor is in the process of starting to swing for the biggest Grand Slam home run that has ever taken place in his ministry. And God has privileged all of us to be a part of it right here at Calvary Cathedral. So I'm telling you that so that you will link your faith up with Pastor Bob Nichols and even higher with the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's a work that only Jesus could have done. And it's a work that he's going to finish. He's the author and he is the finisher of our faith. It's a work that only he can finish, because he's got a job to do here in the United States of America. He's got a job to do here in the city of Fort Worth, Texas, and he has got seasoning and preparation that is lined up so strong for such a long season of time, with so much refiner's fire poured into it, with so much seasoning and pressure. You know, pressure will refine. Pressure will produce the greatest material object. Pressure is what takes place when gold is produced. All of the pressure over the years, I'm telling you, our pastor has not run from pressure, but every pressure that could have possibly come against a preacher has come against him, and he has put more pressure back against the devil than the devil ever could have pushed it against him. Hallelujah. I need an oxygen tank to preach this up here. Sometimes I almost run out of breath. In Psalms 105, we're going to get there hopefully tonight, where it says that they laid Joseph's feet in iron. And in the cross references, it says that his soul entered into the iron. And I'm telling you, that's what has happened here in this house over 50 years, is that the call and the anointing on Pastor and on this house, rather than the pressure and the trouble coming against us and destroying us, that we have rather destroyed the pressure and the trouble that has come against us. That same iron that was built to bind Joseph, to destroy his spirit, to break his faith, to tear him down, that iron, rather than tearing him down and entering discouragement and defeat into Joseph, that iron rather became anointed by the call on Joseph's life. And I'm telling you tonight that rather than all of the trials and tribulations and attack that's come against us over 50 years, that rather than those things destroying us, that we are destroying those things. There's a scripture in Deuteronomy where the Lord is speaking to the children of Israel, and he tells them in regards to the beast of the field and the giants that were in the land. In regards to the beast of the field, he says, I have not driven them out because they're going to hold. And these enemies and the beast in the field are going to hold the land and keep the land kept and tilled and fruitful until you get there. And you're going to have to drive them out. You see, the enemies are not to be run from. We are not to run from the enemy. And we thank God we've got a pastor that has not run from any enemy that has ever been thrown against him in 50 years. Nothing has detoured him. And so what has taken place is rather than these enemies and rather than the beast of the field taking and maintaining the land and us going and doing the easy route, we have slain one enemy after another. We have slain one giant after another. And I'm telling you, we are entering into our timing right now. Yesterday during the staff meeting, I was sitting there and we were praying and I began to feel something and sense something in my spiritual gut. And it was like, I don't know how to describe it other than we're stepping into something and we don't realize how big it is. We're stepping into something right now and we don't realize how big it is. See, God declares the end from the beginning, but we're finite a lot of times and we can't understand everything that He's doing. We may not understand the magnitude of what He's doing, but I'm telling you, church, right now we are stepping into something. I can sense it. I can feel it in my spiritual gut. I don't know how else to say it, but we are stepping into something right now that is a lot bigger, and it's time. We are stepping into our timing. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen tonight. We are stepping into our timing, and it's a lot bigger than we understand. Hallelujah. I just sense such a fear of God about it tonight. Lord, have your way. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 105. Hallelujah. I'm going to read the entire chapter. I just felt like the Holy Ghost wants us to do this. We're going to see how the children of Israel also had a similar journey. I want to point out from the very beginning, verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, sing psalms unto Him, glory in His holy name. But go to verse 45, the very last part of it, praise ye the Lord. Starts off with thanksgiving and giving glory to God, and it ends with giving praise to God. Glory to God. That's how God works. That middle time can be a mean time. The meantime can be a mean time, but you start with thanksgiving and giving glory to God. You're going to end with praise to God. Hallelujah. That's the end of your story. That's the end. That's the end of Calvary Cathedral. When the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise and we go up with the Lord. This is the end that we have is praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. It's not going to end any other way. Hallelujah. What God is birthing and what God is bringing forth in the realm of the Spirit can be something, and I believe it's something that has not been seen before. It has not taken place before here on this earth. I think Brother Benny Hinn may have said that during his crusade when he was here. But in World War II, you see that there was a relentless attack coming against all the allies, against the enemies, the Japanese, the German, and all of these, and how that there was a weapon that was designed that the world had never seen before that ended the war, and that was the atomic bomb. And while we don't rejoice in the results and the people that lost their lives, the point remains that God has designs and things in the realm of the Spirit that the devil has no understanding of. Hallelujah. And God's not going to turn over some superpower weapon to a super sissy preacher, but it's going to be somebody that stood the test of time, hallelujah, for some 50 years and is stepping into His timing, hallelujah. So it's imperative that we be of one mind and one voice and of one accord. The Lord just gave me 3 points tonight. One is that we have to be in the right place. The second thing is we have to say the right thing. And the third thing is that we have to move in the right direction. We need to be in the right place. We need to say the right thing. And we need to move in the right direction. So let's read in Psalms 105 here. Hallelujah. Verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of his wondrous works. You know, we got to focus on this. Talk of his wondrous works. Sing psalms unto him. Because we can get narrow-minded, we can have shortened vision and only see the things that we feel like we're unthankful for. Let me just tell you this right now about thankfulness. Thankfulness is not having 99% bad going on in your life and 1% good, and you being naive of all the bad and turning and thanking God for this 1% good while this bad stuff is going on. That's the picture that the devil wants to paint of thankfulness. I want to tell you right now, in the middle of your worst situation, when it looks like in the natural it's 99% bad, it is not 99% bad. Thankfulness is merely seeing your situation the way God sees it, and when you do, you cannot help but be thankful about it. The truth is, you have a huge amount of things to be thankful for. And if you're not thankful, it's because you've believed a lie. It's because you're seeing something wrong. Thankfulness is not denying the bad things, because the bad things really are the biggest part of my life. I mean, my goodness, I was thrown in jail and lost everything that I had. No, you just have got to begin to do verse 2. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk of all of his wondrous works. In verse 1, give thanks unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 3, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Oh Lord, keep our hearts in verse 4. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face forevermore. When you run into your weakness and you can't take care of the situation, seek the Lord and his strength and seek his face forevermore. It was so powerful. Man, what Benny Hinn preached that Thursday night was one of the most timely, perfect words for the body of Christ, when he talked about getting into the secret place and staying there. Just stay there in the secret place and don't go anywhere. He talked about not just going there in the place of prayer for 30 minutes, but waiting an hour, and then an hour and a half. And I'm telling you, saint, telling you, child of God, when you've been in that place of prayer in the presence of God, and you get to the place where your mouth stops running, your mind stops running, and you're just in the presence of God, and all of a sudden you reach 2 hours, and you literally could go another 2 hours and end up spending 4 hours in the presence of God. You reach that place where it's almost like a spiritual euphoria, and you can just stay in the presence of God. That's what the psalmist is talking about here in verse 4. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Get in God's presence and just stay there. Seek the Lord. Hallelujah. We can't ever let the work of the ministry become greater than the Lord himself. Remember his marvelous works and all that he's done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. Verse 7, he is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Verse 9, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law unto Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto you will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few men in number. So here we go, he's going to start testifying. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sakes. Verse 15, saying, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. How many of you are anointed here tonight? The Lord is telling the devil, touch not mine anointed. Hallelujah. And do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land, and he broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. And again, there in the cross reference, it says his soul entered into the iron. In verse 19, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. In verse 19 there, Joseph stepped into his timing. Just like you, Calvary Cathedral, right now, you are stepping into your timing. Hallelujah. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the promise and the word that God has given us has tried us for some 50 years. But there's a time when that fulfillment comes. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I declare, just by the Spirit of God, that everything in Pastor's heart these 50 years will come to pass. And Pastor, on the way up, when that trumpet sounds, we'll be able to say it all took place. Lord, I thank you that not one thing will be left on the table. Hallelujah. But every single bit of it will be done. Every single bit of it will be done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord, for faithful men and women that you have placed, Lord, at Pastor's hand. Hallelujah. To support, to carry it out, do the work. Hallelujah. So Pastor's efforts are multiplied. Hallelujah. As compared to years gone by, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Verse 20, and the king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of his people, and let him go free. Just so you know the story, Joseph was in jail, and all of a sudden the Lord gave Pharaoh a dream. God's got the key to every door in your life. God has the key to every door in your life. So don't short circuit it because you don't understand the timing. But God gave Pharaoh a dream, and all of a sudden Pharaoh unlocks the door to Joseph and takes an ex-con and makes him the second highest in the kingdom, in the world. And he made him lord of his house in verse 21 and ruler of all his substance. God doesn't need a lot of time to make the change in your life. God's more, the time that God needs in your life is the work that he's been doing in your heart for all of these years. But what's going to take place in the natural, the thing that you've been so focused on and I've been so focused on that we know is God, he can just do it in a moment. Hallelujah. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance. Verse 22, to bind princes at his pleasure and to teach senators his wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. So God brought Joseph's family back to him. He restored everything. God restored everything to Joseph. God did not forget one iota, not one little thing did God forget to give back to Joseph. Hallelujah. Oh, every single one of these things could just preach on. Didn't forget a single thing. I'm telling you, just as it will be with Pastor, everything will be fulfilled in your individual life. As you stay faithful, keep maintain your integrity. Let the work of the Spirit of God go on the inside of your heart. And as you do that, not one thing will be left undone in your life. You will see God manifest and do every single thing in your heart. Every single righteous desire of your life will be manifested. Hallelujah. God brought his family back. God's bringing your family back. However he has to do that, he is bringing them back. And he's bringing them in. Praise God. Verse 23, Israel also came into Egypt and sojourned in the land of Ham. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. Oh, what a verse. He increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. God is increasing you greatly, Calvary Cathedral, and making you stronger than your enemies. We have some big enemies in the nation today, but God is making Calvary Cathedral stronger than all of our enemies. God is making Calvary Cathedral stronger than all the enemies of unrighteousness that would want to send a subpoena to try to tell pastors what they can preach and what they can't preach. God is making Calvary Cathedral stronger than the enemies of unrighteousness that would try to withhold the gospel, try to prevent the gospel, that would try to promote a religion that's out of hell, that cuts people's heads off. God is making Calvary Cathedral stronger than our enemies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Many of us, most of us, are going to reap where we have not sowed, as the Word says. Because we're standing with a man of God that has sown for all of these years. I want to encourage you tonight to lift your faith and stand in the unity of faith. If we get there in Ephesians chapter 3, stand in the unity of faith with Pastor Bob Nichols and the vision of this house like never before. And you'll begin to reap where you have not sown because another man has for 50 years. Well, that's not fair. God's called 11-hour workers, the 11th hour workers. You read the parable that Jesus told in the Gospels about the 11th hour workers, how a man, a businessman, went out in the morning and he hired people and he needed help, so he paid them a certain wage. Then he went out two or three times more till finally it was the 11th hour of the day and he still goes out to get more laborers because the harvest was so great. That businessman was not crazy, but any businessman knows that when you have a desperate situation, you're willing to pay double the amount of money to get the job done so you don't lose everything. And God is willing to pay and do double work, double time, and get 11th hour workers in. So I'm telling you, church, tonight, lift your faith and join your faith with the vision of the house, with what Jesus Christ has called for Calvary Cathedral to do with Pastor Bob Nichols like never before, so that you can reap the harvest of the anointing on his life. Not just so it's a pretty word to say and a pretty message to preach, but so that we can see things take place on the highest degree, because we're stepping into our timing. We have got to link our faith with Pastor in that manner. And it requires a unity and walking in love that is heaven-sent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Entering into our timing. Verse 24, he's increasing you and Calvary Cathedral greatly and making us stronger than our enemies. Glory to God. Verse 25, he turned their heart to hate his people. He's talking about Egypt, to hate Israel. To deal subtly with his servants, he sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron with him, with whom he had chosen. And they showed signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. Signs and wonders coming to Calvary Cathedral. I'm telling you right now, signs and wonders coming to Calvary Cathedral to settle the issue where all the lies of hell, all the deceptions and all these cobwebs that the devil's thrown, that religion can't even begin to touch, one sign and wonder will begin to take place. Another sign and a wonder will begin to take place. And it'll be like the lame man at the gate in Acts chapter 3, in Acts chapter 2, at the beginning of Acts chapter 3, when Peter went and raised that man up, and it was a sign and a wonder that to that entire city. How many times had Jesus walked past that same man, but he didn't raise him up? God has miracles and signs and wonders set apart for you and for me. Hallelujah. Signs and wonders coming in this time. In verse 27, he showed him signs and wonders in the land of Ham, and he sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. I'm telling you, the latter of the glory of the latter house is greater than the glory of the former house. I'm telling you tonight that we have got to lift our faith and say, God, if you want us to call down darkness on a city and the sun doesn't shine for 2 days, then bless God, I'm going to have the boldness to stand up and sin, prophesy it. If you want me to turn the water, the Trinity River, into blood and work these signs and wonders that Moses did it, then bless God, I'm going to have the boldness to prophesy it. Where is your faith tonight? I'm telling you, we are standing at the threshold of our timing. We're stepping into it, and we have got 50 years of seed. 50 years of that freight train building steam, and it is not going to stop. So make sure you're in the right place. Hallelujah. Now is the time to do everything that you need to do to make sure you're in the right place. Now is not the time to be considering taking a job to move to another town and leave this church when you've been planted here and you're a part of this house. Now is not the time to be making some foolish, careless move that's going to take you out of all the services. Well, Pastor, I can't come because now I'm working. And I got to miss Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I can't come to any services, but I love you, Pastor. Well, no, now is not the time to do that. Well, the money was so good. Don't let the devil suck and draw you away because the money's good. God will provide your needs, and much better for you to take a less paying job in the time being and have fruit for all eternity. You want to talk about a good investment? Let me tell you right now, you are an eternal being. You're not just going to live another 40 or 50 years, so stop planning like you're only going to live another 40 or 50 years and start thinking eternal-minded. Well, my boss told me I need to do this because it's better for my career. Well, if God can work that out, and a promotion can be great, but not, you got to consider the consequences. When I was 19 years old, I remember I took a job at Olive Garden. And I didn't want to take the job. I went in and I said, am I going to have to be involved with serving alcohol? That's the first question I asked. And he said, yeah. And I said, okay, I'm not doing it. And the manager said, okay, all right, well, we won't make you do it. And I was like, well, okay. we'll do this. And I worked one weekend just enough to get my free meal during training. And I worked one weekend and quit because I had to miss the youth service Saturday night. And I was like, this is not happening. Never again the rest of my life am I missing a church service because of something like this. And I went and quit. And the guy wanted to keep me. I was like, I'm sorry, I can't do this. I'm not going to do it. And the Lord provided something. I don't even remember what he provided for me. But now you got to make sure you're in the right place. 50 years of seasoning, and I'm telling you, church, we're stepping into our timing right now, and we who knows what God is going to do. Pastor knows more than any of us, but who knows how it's going to take place. Don't miss it, you know, and don't get discouraged because if next Sunday morning we don't have 2,000 people packed in this auditorium, maybe we'll have a lot of people. Maybe we'll see substantial increase right off the bat, but we're stepping into our timing. It could take a few days. It could take a few weeks. It could take a few months. I don't know how long that step takes, but we're stepping into our timing right now. Just like when Moses rounded that corner and all of a sudden he sees a burning bush and hears a voice telling him to take his shoes off because the ground whereon he was standing is holy. Hallelujah. So God makes us stronger than our enemies. Works signs and wonders. Verse 31, he spoke, and there came diverse sorts of flies and lice in all their coast. And he gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines and also their fig trees and broke the trees of their coast. He spoke and the locusts, it's hard to read this, King James. He spake, and the locusts came and caterpillars without number. And did eat up all the herbs in the land and devour the fruit of their ground. And he smote all the firstborn in their land and the chief of their strength. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble person among their tribes. You see, so there's a whole lot of difficulty going on. But it starts off in Psalms 105 with give thanks to the Lord. And it finishes with praise ye the Lord. So in the beginning of your difficulty, thank God. At the end of it, you're going to be praising God if you keep your heart right and you see the course. So stay in the right place, say the right thing, and move in the right direction. Hallelujah. It's not enough for you to be here in the right place and be seated here at Calvary Cathedral, but your heart and your mouth is moving in a different direction. I'm telling you, it makes a difference. Every person that's here, a committed part of this church, and I believe everybody that comes Sunday morning needs to be coming Sunday and Wednesday night, if at all possible. I think the mindset where we just think, well, that's all I do is Sunday morning, you're missing out. We love you, and you're doing great. Keep up Sunday morning, but you need to, you know, just encourage people. They need to be here Sunday and Wednesday night. That's God's best for them. And we all need to be a part. We all have to be in unity. And so it's not about being here in the right place, but having some contrary vision. You can stand with the call of God in your heart and in your hand, you know, like for me, for example, with Harvest Ministries. I mean, I believe with all my heart that I pray God with all my heart that I am right perfectly in line in unity and with the vision of this house. And here is a part, just an instrument in pastor's hand that he can say, do this, go do this. And I'm right there for him, just like as if I was on staff, on paid staff. You know, so you don't have to be a part of the paid staff. You don't have to be working here full time to be fully plugged into the vision. But within your capacity that God has called you, you can make that work and serve God with that and be a fully committed part of the vision here at Calvary Cathedral and moving in the same, in the correct, in the right direction, because we're stepping into our timing. And now is the time to make sure that you're on the train. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when Moses started working those signs and wonders, you did not want to be on the fence. You did not want to be in the land of, if you were in the land of Goshen, you did not want to be in the land of Egypt when all of a sudden darkness hits, thinking, oh man, I was an Israelite, but I got scared, so I converted over to the land of Egypt, and now I can't see anything. Now there are flies everywhere. I'm telling you, get in the right place while you still can. Now is not the time to be in the wrong place. You don't want to be in Egypt when the signs and wonders start taking place. You don't want to be in Egypt when pastor stands up and preaches a word that shakes the city in one single week. You don't want to be on the wrong side of the fence. Make sure you're in the right place. Make sure your heart is in the right place. Because the hotter the fire and the stronger the glory, the greater the judgment, the greater the blessing when you're on the right side. But if you stand in the presence of God and you've been a part and tasted of the holiness of God and you turn around and rebel and you go in the wrong direction, I'm telling you, it's not going to be a good result for you. Get your heart right and make sure you're in the right place. Because when God starts to work signs and wonders like he did, I'm telling you, you want to be on the right side of the fence. You don't want to have just switched over to the land of Egypt because fear beats you out of the house of God and beats you into rebellion. And now when judgment comes and the firstborn is dying and you're on the wrong side of the fence, you don't want to be there. Make sure you're in the right place. Make sure you're saying the right thing because we're stepping into our timing. I'm telling you, it's my heart's desire. I know it's pastors, and we need to see the majority of our Sunday morning crowd here Sunday night and Wednesday night, all raw and excited, praising God. And I understand some people have to work, and there's some things that don't work, and that's great. It's right. But the majority, I believe, praise God, Lord, bring them in. Let's just see that take place, hallelujah, and see them in the right place on Sunday night and Wednesday night. See all of us saying the right thing. If you're here and you're in the right place, but you can't say the right thing, you've just check your heart and start saying the right thing. And my 3 points, you've got to be in the right place, you've got to say the right thing, and you've got to move in the right direction. Telling you, God's blessing will be on your lives to the greatest degree when you do so. Because you don't know God's end result for you entirely. You may know in part. We know in part and we prophesy in part. So there you go. You know a part, but God knows the whole. And I'm telling you that our love and our perfect bond of unity, hallelujah, is so, so vital right now. You want to know the number one way to get on the wrong side of the wall of Jerusalem, get on the outside rather than the inside, is to let strife in your thoughts, in your heart, and in your mouth. Just don't go there no matter what. No matter how right you think you are, just don't go there, period. I'll just give you a quick example. just say you have a father and son going on a trip. The father knows how to get from Dallas to Atlanta. He's done it a ton of times. But there's construction taking place, and so the son, he thinks he's smarter, like sons usually do. You know, just, you know, he's a teenager, so that's his excuse. And so he pulls out his GPS, and he's like, "Dad, you're going the wrong direction. You need to go this way." And the dad's like, "No, son, just let me go this direction." And he takes the construction detour, and maybe the son's GPS on his phone would have saved 30 minutes. But here's the deal. The son just needs to say, "All right, I said something. I'm totally happy," and continue on their conversation about how excited they are about their hunting trip and stay in peace about it. The mistake comes when the son is like, "Oh my gosh, my GPS says that. I know my dad is wrong." And the son gets out of the car, gets into strife, and starts trying to go that other direction. You know, that's the conflict of strife. That's how foolish it is. It's not about the dad being absolutely 100% perfect and making every single person happy. It's about us knowing we're getting there in the right direction and we have somebody we can trust. And praise God, we're going to stay in peace and stay in the love of God the entire trip. And we're all going to stay on the road and stay in the path and stay in the blessing of God. Man, just because somebody has a GPS and can save 30 minutes on a 700-mile trip doesn't mean that they're worthy. Come on. That's how foolish strife is. Strife is the son jumping out of the car, and now the dad either has to make the trip without the son, or he's got to shut the car down and go chase his son down and talk to him, you know, and deal with all this stuff, try to console him and everything. You know what? That's crazy. That's exactly what strife is. Who cares if your GPS was more accurate for 30 minutes of the trip? There's a whole lot more going on. We're talking about 50 years of wisdom and experience here. And even greater than that, the plan and the blessing that Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church, has. So our job is to say, "Here we are, Pastor. I'm right here. I'm right here with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God." And if we have a good idea that gets used, great. If we have a good idea that doesn't get used, then great. It's all the same. Your gift will make room for you at the right time. But if you try to force it at the wrong time, you're going to end up in strife, and it's just not going to go well. I remember one time on the ski trip, probably back in 03 or something, and I had been on the mission field in 98 when I first started being used in healing. I had a real big desire to be used in the healing ministry because I suffered, you know, somewhat when I was a kid with severe asthma and other things. So in 1998 on the mission field, I started being used in healing and fasting and praying and seeing miracles take place, and but I hadn't seen it, you know, in services here at Calvary. And so in 03, somewhere in 03 or 02 on the ski trip, I'm standing there with Mark and on the front row, and Pastor was just a few people over. And I think you might have been preaching that night. And all of a sudden, I felt that healing anointing hit. And I was like, oh, man. You know, I'm just a little kid. And I'm like, I'm nervous. I'm like, Pastor's here. If I make a mistake, my ministry, I don't want to make a mistake in front of Pastor, you know. And I'm just like, Lord, I don't want to do this. But I begin to think, you know what? I remember Jesse Duplantis telling a story. And about how he was preaching on just preaching up a storm in some town, and he's just going and going, and any preacher that's had this happen, you kind of cannot identify. He's preaching up a storm, and all of a sudden he goes, "You, sir, are sleeping with that man's wife," and it just flew out of his mouth before, and they were on the front row, and these are leaders or deacons in the church. And then he was like, "Whoa!" And the pastor jumped up and said, "Everybody pray in tongues." And revival ensued, and he was right. It was a word of knowledge, and revival ensued, and there was repentance. But Jesse Duplantis was freaked out. He said he went back to the hotel room that night, and he said some things, and the Lord rebuked him for what he said. And Jesse Duplantis said for the next year, every time he sought God, "Lord, I want a greater anointing," the Lord says, "No, you're not ready. Remember what you said to me in that hotel." And so I'm on the front row on this ski trip thinking, okay, I'm scared. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. But I don't want to be like, I don't want to make that Jesse Duplantis mistake either and not honor the anointing, and just, and then next time that the anointing, that I want God to heal people, he's going to tell me, "You remember, David, when you're on the ski trip and I told you to say something and you didn't do it because you're scared?" So I said something. I told something to Mark. And ultimately, it didn't happen in the service. But you know what? I was totally happy with it. And you know, and in the last few years, God has just opened things up and the healing ministry, and it's been so blessed. But I could, and I believe that not happening in the service, I believe that was God's will for it not to happen. I think the Lord just wanted to test me. See, will you be faithful with this anointing, but will you also be faithful to submit your heart and submit that to Pastor? And Mark Carrillo was a youth minister at the time. Well, are you going to be faithful? Just humble yourself. And I did. And I gave that word. I said, "Mark, I believe this and that." But he didn't call me up. And I believe that he did the right thing. I think that was the right thing. But you see, I had a chance to be the son in the car and think, well, they should have let me get up and do the healing because, bless God, people should have got healed. And my anointing, and I heard, and I this, and I, the I monster, just break out and begin to miss what God wants to do. But you just leave it with God and keep your heart right. Stay in the right place. Say the right thing and move in the right direction. Hallelujah. Okay, we'll finish up Psalms 105 here. In verse 36, "He smote also the firstborn in their land, and the chief of their strength, and he brought them forth also with silver and gold." Hallelujah. "And there was not a feeble person among their tribes, healing and blessing and financial increase." In verse 38, "Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quail and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant." Hallelujah. I believe we could almost plug Pastor's name in right there, but hallelujah. God has got some awesome things cooking here. Verse 43, "And he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people." Verse 45, "That they may observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord." Hallelujah. It all comes back to Jesus. Hallelujah. Starts with Jesus and it all comes back with Jesus. So let's just turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to read this. I know y'all are so with what the Holy Ghost is doing tonight, I probably don't have to even preach it. Ephesians chapter 4, we just need to read this, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. We have to forbear one another. That means when so-and-so is getting under your skin and you know what they did was wrong and everybody looks, they made you look like a fool, forbear it in love and trust God with it and say the right thing. Speak the word of God. I believe it's 2 Timothy 1, verse 13. It talks about this doctrine of sound words. Let me just flip over there real quick. 2 Timothy 1, 13. Hold fast the form of sound words, which you have also heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. We've got to have that doctrine of sound words, to hold fast to sound words here at Calvary Cathedral. Hallelujah. Verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 4, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We have to work at keeping the unity of the Spirit. Unity just doesn't happen. And unity doesn't come when everybody gets on your page and everybody comes into agreement with you. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If you ever get out of peace, if there's ever a lack of peace in what you're saying and doing, then you're causing strife. And you don't want to go there. Verse 4, there is one body, one spirit. This is something that we've got to understand in our message in regards to Islam and Mormonism right now. Mormonism has a false Jesus Christ that Joseph Smith made up in the late 1800s. And he's added an additional gospel, which Galatians chapter 1 specifically speaks of against and says, if anybody preaches to you an additional gospel, let him be accursed. Mormonism is a knockoff of Christianity, and so is Islam. I witnessed to an Islam on the airplane on the way back from Columbia, Missouri, on the way back, and he said, it's the same God. I'm like, no, it's not the same God. Allah is not the same God as Jehovah God. It's a lie from hell. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. We have no agreement with the doctrine of Allah being the same God because they believe in Father Abraham. It's all a lie from hell, just like Mormonism is, that has sprung off of Christianity. The devil's making every attempt he can to stop the message of the gospel. But when the message is right, then the power and the demonstration is there, the devil's lie is totally annihilated. Hallelujah. And so verse 6, one God, one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But verse 7, but unto every one is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And I just want to reread verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Hallelujah. So we are stepping into our time, into our season here at Calvary Cathedral. Hallelujah. I know you received that word tonight. Why don't you stand up and praise God? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to ask you an important, quick question right now. If you're in this place, if you were to die tonight and you're not 100% sure that you would go straight to heaven, if there's any doubt in your heart, then I want to pray with you right now. If you're in this place and you're not 100% sure that you would go straight to heaven, God is speaking to you, and that's the reason that you're here. This is the most important time in your entire life. You can't underestimate it just because it seems like any old Wednesday night, but God is speaking to your heart right now. In a second category of people, you're in this place, and you know you would go to heaven, but you know that your heart is not right with God. Whatever it may be, it may have been a relationship, something that poisons you online, something that is unrepented in your life, and you know your life is not right with Jesus. I'm telling you right now, it's time for you to come to the cross. It's time for you to come to Jesus. God is touching and speaking to your heart right now. If you're one of those two categories, I want to pray with you. Now is your time. God's speaking to you. He's putting a desire in your heart. Your heart's pounding right now. If you don't know for sure you would make heaven, it's time for you to know for sure. And if you know your heart's not right with God, it's time to get your heart right with God. If you're one of those two categories, the Lord is speaking to your heart right now, telling you it's time to respond. I want you to raise your hand right now. Just put it up in the air so I can see it and just wave it at me. And I want to pray with you and pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord's speaking to your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just raise your hand and wave it at me so I can pray with you and pray for you. Jesus hung on a cross, naked and abused, and beaten for us. Hallelujah. And he just asked that you confess him before men so he can confess you before your Father in heaven. If you're in this place and you need to answer this call, you know your heart's not right with God, just raise your hand and wave it at me tonight, right now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I know the Lord's working on somebody's heart right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's time for you to make your move right now during this service. It's not wise for you to say, I'll do it later. The only reason you would want to do it later is because there's something in your heart that's not fully committed. But I'm telling you, the second you make that move and you come down,